Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as you probably have heard me say before, this is my favorite time of the week. And I have brought along a friend.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Well, we're just delighted that you're with us too, Richard. And I'm sure all those listening are glad that you're with us. And if you get our email, dear friends, you know that tonight we have Robin Williams at the request of many of you who connected with us and said that you wanted to hear from him. And if you're not getting our email, go to any of our websites, one of them being Right Brain Magic, and go down to the bottom of the page and sign up, and you'll get our emails. It's just that easy. So,
and I apologize to all of you listening. Carolyn sounds a little distant because for some reason her headset is not connected and she's talking through the microphone of her iPad. So it kind of sounds like she's a little distant. And I'm on the phone, so that's not very high quality either. So technology is not our friend tonight, but we're here.
Something must be in retrograde.
Something.
Anyway, dear friends, if you listened to our work before, you know that Richard speaks to the guest of the moment. And if you have a picture of that individual and put the picture of him in your third eye and place your attention into your heart center, you might be able to pick up his vibrations as Richard does, which would be exciting, wouldn't it? So, Richard, have you tuned into our guest?
Yes, I have tuned into Robin, and I find his energy interesting. The first place I experience his energy is actually in my head, which I have to say is the first time I've had that experience. And I find initially I felt no heart-based energy at all, but gradually there's been a little bit emerge, and I get from this a sense that he was, you know, very disconnected in his life, very disconnected from him, the truth of himself. And it's an unusual energy in that regard. As I say, it's the first time I have experienced an energy like Robin's in this way.
That is interesting. So, Richard, does Mr. Williams have a message for us?
Well, I'm sure he does. So let's see what he has to say. I know that many of you are interested in hearing from me, given that I have only recently crossed over and given the circumstances of my passing. And I will say that my life was a challenging one, much more so than most people understand. Like many comics, the cultivation of the comic role was a facade to hide a deeper malaise, you might say. There are many comics who are prone to depression, and quite a few who are what you might consider manic depressives, who swing from one side to the other. And even though I was formally diagnosed, you might say, as a depressive, anyone who has watched my work will know that there is that manic element within me. I was very fortunate in life that I had great comic gifts. Yes, I practiced and trained, but ultimately it was a gift that I was given, and I had the presence of mind, you might say, to cultivate that ability so that I could make my way in the world with something that I wished to do. Because I loved being an entertainer, I loved being an actor, but especially I loved being a comic. And my favorite moments were when I ad-libbed, when I simply brought forth the lines that came to me in the moment. And that is why I describe it as a gift, because it was not like I planned these things. It was as if they were given to me in the moment. They would run through my head, and all I had to do was to package them and deliver them in whatever format was appropriate at the time. And so I was, you might say, deeply grateful for the gifts that I was granted. And I did my best to take advantage of these gifts. But underneath all of that, as I say, there was this depression, and there were some who detected the energy of this behind my work. Indeed, I know the one that is bringing me forth was unable to watch much of my later work because he could detect that depressive element running underneath the humor. And he was not alone in this. There were others who would pick this up in my work. So many simply reacted to my humorous facade, but there were others who could feel what was behind this facade. So I share these things with you so you gain a little glimpse of me as I lived my life. As some of you will know, I became addicted to alcohol and other drugs in my life. And this is not unusual for those in various forms of the entertainment profession, whether it be acting or the music industry. The presence of drugs of many sorts is quite commonplace. And I became trapped, you might say, by the availability of these things. And as you might appreciate, for most of my life, the ability to purchase these things was not really a problem for me. Money was not really an issue for me in most of my life once I became established. But I was challenged in my life, as most of you who've read my biography to any degree will know that I was married 3 times, and no one goes through a divorce without a great deal of pain, and I suffered through those breakdowns, and I loved the building of a new relationship, that newness phase, but ultimately my relationships broke down because I did not really understand what made those relationships work, you might say, or what work it took to grow within a relationship. So, in many ways, I, you might say, sustained this facade, but never really learnt what life was truly about. I never really learnt to go beyond the depression. Comedy gave me the vehicle to build a facade in the world that people applauded, people lauded that facade, and so it was my ticket to success. And in a way, it prevented me from looking below that darkness that consumed me when I stepped out of the spotlight. So I do not wish to spend my time in some maudlin manner here, but rather I want to express with some openness how I was in my life, which was really quite a contrast, I suspect, to most of you might imagine when I presented this entertaining comic face to the world. And there are some that have speculated that my passing was not by my own hand, that indeed I was the subject of some foul play, you might say, but this is not so. I really felt like I was coming to a dead end in my life. The emergence of Parkinson's disease, as has been published since my passing, and other issues were making my life very difficult. And as I said, I was already not dealing with the fundamental things which you might say were my dark demons. I had not focused on them in my life. And so when the threat of losing control of my physical body and with some passing years, my not so imminent but certainly not too distant passing, I simply could not face these things. I saw no point to it, and so chose of my own volition to end my life in the manner that I did. And since I have crossed over, I have learnt an amazing amount in a very short time. I truly am amazed by how little I understood about the truth of life. I lived inside this bubble, you might say, and lived inside that bubble successfully, as so many of my profession do. For so many actors, not only comedians, the role of acting is a way to create a facade to, you might say, hide behind. And there is an opportunity to say things and do things and behave in ways that are not possible in normal life, that create an escape. And these escape mechanisms for so many, and I would also add many musicians to this, many use this as a reason to not look more deeply, and so they escape into drugs and other things. You are no doubt aware that at least some of the Beatles examined more spiritual kind of paths to begin to understand these things. I was never drawn in that direction. I never got beyond my depression or even understood that there was some way to go beyond it. It was like a black hole that I worked very hard to avoid looking into. And so I have learned very quickly since I have crossed over that firstly, one survives the death process. Indeed, it is a form of liberation. The freedom that you experience beyond that moment of death is quite extraordinary. I could never have imagined it, but it has been so. And I have learnt so much about the possibilities that I missed by the path that I walked, that indeed I now understand that the depression that I experienced was, you might say, created in this lifetime to cause me to look underneath, to look to understand the truth of myself. But because of the life that I lived, I never looked in that manner. And so I regret this. I wish I had the understanding when I was alive that I now have in, you might say, in death, but indeed it's my ongoing journey as a soul beyond that passing of human life. I wish I'd understood these things rather more. I wish that I had understood the time in which you live, that I live, this time of great change in the world. I had no idea about. I certainly had my concerns about how the world was moving forward, the emergence of, you might say, the police state in America was of great concern to me. The destruction being wrought across the planet was of concern to me. I had no idea that 9/11 was perpetrated by the American government. I had no clue about this. I bought the story about it being a terrorist attack, as most of America has done. I was never drawn to look at these things in that manner, to understand truly how the world worked, though I did see that it had great flaws. But my focus was on being, you might say, an entertainer, to both contribute to people in that way, to entertain them, but also from a personal point of view, to avoid looking at, as I said, this darkness that I felt within me. So I have some regret about these things, because had I carried the understanding in life that I now have beyond that moment of death, then I would not have taken my life. I would have stayed to participate in this time of extraordinary change. But it is how it is, and we make the choices that we make. But I have to say, I have some regret about the choice that I made in hindsight. I do wish that I had remained to participate in the changes that are about to emerge, because from what I can see, from where I look, they truly are about to emerge into your world. There will be this separation, as I understand it, this division between those who will participate in this change and those who choose not to. When I say choose not to, for the most part, it is their souls that are making this choice because of the journey that the individuals have walked over past lives, but particularly in this lifetime. And so there will be this division, you might say, this separation of those who will participate in this shift and move forward to a new wondrous consciousness, a consciousness that I have been looking at since I have crossed over, because, as I said, I had no knowledge that this existed, no understanding of the time in which we live. So many people are living in complete ignorance of what is unfolding in the world at this time, this extraordinary, beautiful planet on which you all live and which I also lived. It is a time that is, you might say, almost magical, but as I say, most people have no idea about it in this time. And I have also had the opportunity to examine how these changes will be brought forth. And it truly is extraordinary. I know some of you that are listening to this are very connected to the work that Carolyn and Richard do. And they have been speaking about the emergence of a rejuvenated form of the physical body as a trigger for this. And I can confirm from what I can witness that this indeed is so, that this transformation will involve this physical transformation. And that transformation involves many things, but it will be a signal in the world, you might say, that something is changing. And that this separation is occurring, a separation that most people today have absolutely no clue about. It has been very carefully hidden from humanity by those who control your world. And I had no idea about that either. I understood that there were negative, powerful individuals involved in the movie industry who controlled in large measure what went on, but also on top of that, there were very creative people who had the opportunity to create great entertainment, and in some cases, films with great insight and information, guidance for people. So there were these two elements within the film, the movie industry, that I could see, but I did not bother really with those dark elements because I could do what I wanted to do for the most part. I worked with people that I trusted and respected and who respected and trusted me. And in a sense, I see now I was skating across the surface of things. But What I'm saying here is that I did not have the understanding of these very dark forces, you might say, that actually control so much of what happens in the consciousness on the planet today, how they manipulate and control so much. It was hidden from me, and I was never really drawn to look. And so it has been something of a shock to see all this since I have crossed over. And so my message to all of you who hear this, take heed from my words. Do not get caught in a similar trap that I did of not looking for the truth of yourself to understand what is there on a deeper basis. Understand this, and I suspect most of you listening to this already do, or you would not be connected to this work of Carolyn and Richard. But take hope from my words that the changes that they have sought for so long, that they have been, in a sense, drawn to play a leadership role in, is absolutely real. There is very little tangible evidence in your world of this today, but I see how close it is, and when it bursts forth, the world will not be the same. Trust me. And it is extremely close. And as I say, I wish I had remained to be able to participate in this if that opportunity was available to me. And I suspect as it emerged, I would have been able to make that choice, but I have not examined this more deeply than simply this conversation with you. So take heart from my words. It is very close to emerging in your world. And so these are the key thoughts and feelings and messages that I wanted to be able to share with you today. And I'm very willing and happy to take any questions you may have of me.
Thank you, Robin. And thank you, Richard, for working with him, bringing his information through. And my dear listeners, if you have any questions from Robin or for Robin, please call in and ask them, and we'll get the answers for you. So we don't have anybody calling in yet, but I will ask you, Robin, my own question. You crossed over and probably weren't expecting it at all to be like it is. Can you give our listeners some thought of what it is like to cross over?
Firstly, to choose to cross over in the way that I did is somewhat terrifying, you might say. The moment when you realize that there is no going back, that you have made a choice to end your life, and you are ending it in a way that is not very pleasant. That moment is not a pleasant moment, but it does not last long. You move beyond it quite quickly. And once you have done so, you might say your consciousness moves beyond the body and you become a witness. You are no longer caught by the experience of the physical body, but you are outside observing what the physical body is experiencing. And it is done with detachment. So there was that initial period where I was, you might say, simply witnessing my own passing. And this is not something that I expected to experience at all, but that is what I experienced. And from there, I experienced, you might say, being lifted up, being guided energetically, is the best way I can describe it. It was like I was put on this conveyor that carried me from where I was observing my physical body to, all I can say, is a different dimension. And there was really an experience of relief and release. Firstly, I was leaving behind this darkness, you might say, that I experienced in my life. And certainly that was a relief, but also just being set free from the constraints of the human physical life as it exists. It is quite a restriction for the soul to live inside the human form, and I had not understood this until I crossed over. And frankly, I did not understand that there was any aspect of me that would survive the process of death. I did not understand this at all. And so it was something of a miracle to me to realize that who I took myself to be was not who I was at all. And so there was this release, this relief as this process progressed, and I found myself being guided. And there were, you might say, beings of light. You could call them angels if you will, but really I would rather call them beings of light who were there to guide me, to, you might say, take me by the hand and to comfort me and to explain that this was perfectly normal and that there was something of a shock with this for a human being, for a soul as it crossed over. And in a way this is bizarre because I also understand that the soul does journey during the sleep state. So there seems to be part of the soul which travels in that manner and has that knowledge, and part which is very much trapped inside the human experience until the individual crosses over. I can't say I fully understand all of this as yet, but the moment of crossing over was not as traumatic ultimately as I expected it would be. And in the final analysis, apart from that moment where I realized that I had no way back and I was going through the process of dying, once I moved beyond that moment, it was quite a release, a relief, a freedom that emerged. And I realized that having made that choice, there is no going back. And even though the experience of myself beyond it is so much more liberated, I also realized that I gave up an opportunity by the choice that I made. As I said, in hindsight, with the knowledge I now have, it is not a choice that I would make. So these are perhaps some thoughts for others to consider.
Thank you, Robin. We do have a question from Jean from Texas is online too. Welcome, Jean. What questions do you have for Robin?
Hi, Robin, and hi, Carolyn and Richard. Robin, we all love you no matter what, and thank you for bringing so much magnificent light to Mother Earth and humanity. I just want you to know we're in deep gratitude. And I just kind of wanted to call with some encouragement because my understanding is when the separation or the ascension happens, that it would be much easier, the joining of heaven and earth, for those who have crossed over to communicate with us who have made the decision to ascend as well. So I didn't want you to think that you were left out in any way, shape, or form, that the form of communication supposedly is supposed to be much easier, and you really won't be left behind, is my feeling.
That's beautiful, Jean. Thank you. Now, Dee is online, too.
And Carolyn, can I...
Yes.
Can I say something to you as well, Caroline? I
of
know
course.
You've been having a rough time with some dark energies. There is a product called Laminine. I don't know if you know about. There's a website called The Best Years of My Life, and it is supposed to, you can look it up and you can validate it yourself. And my understanding is this is supposed to really help you to block a lot of that from having effect on you. So I just wanted to pass that forward to you. And also there's another site, Egg of Life, eggoflife.com.
Thank you, Jean. I appreciate the information. It's always good to pass information around. That's wonderful. Thank you, dear. Dee is on line 3. Welcome, Dee. What question do you have for Robin?
Thank you.
Hello, Dee.
I just want to tell you, yes. Can you
I
hear
can't
me?
Hear you.
Okay, I'll try and talk really loud.
I can
hear you.
Can you
hear me now? Okay.
I can hear you.
First of all, I just wanted to tell Robin, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for bringing so much joy into our lives. You would not believe how many people just love to hear you, to watch you, we just laugh and we watch all of your videos and just are so impressed. And I hope that you realize that how many fans that you had. I've been reading a book called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, and it's a story of a person who communicates, who has died and has crossed over, and he communicates with his sister, and he tells different things to his sister's friends. And I just hope that you will take that gift and you'll help other people to understand what's going on in the world. And I really don't have any other questions for you. I would appreciate any comments that you have on that.
That's a beautiful thing to say, Dee. Does Robin have any questions or comments on that, Richard?
I think so. I thank you, Dee, for your kind words. I am aware that many people enjoyed my work, my humor, and truly this is what drove me to continue with this work and to bring it forth. It was, as I said, a gift that was given to me, and I was pleased to be able to share it with the world to the best of my ability. And in a sense, you have some awareness because clearly people turn up and watch movies and so on. But it is also very humbling and satisfying to have someone come forth in these circumstances as you have done, Dee, and express it in that manner. So I thank you. It is humbling, and I truly appreciate your kind words.
Thank you, Dee. Chad is on line
thank
four.
You so much.
Welcome, Chad. What question do you have,
Hello.
Rob?
Well, I'm calling in regards to a previous experience I had when I was a child. I actually crossed over when I was a child, and through meditation or through heavy breathing when I was a child. And when I got there, these entities that I spoke with, the non-physical entities, said that I wasn't supposed to be able to get out. And I'm just wondering why or how they seemed like they were surprised I was able to get out and everything else, and what kind of why I really was meant to come back for or anything like that. It was kind of a question if he can know that or not.
Richard, did you understand the question?
Yes, I did. Chad, I'm going to answer this from my perspective rather than asking Robin, given, you know, the freshness, if you will, of his experience. Firstly, I find it interesting that, as you say, through breathing and so on, you were able to trigger that as a child. That's kind of unusual. But
yes,
the thing to understand about this is that we all come forth, our souls come forth with a mission to achieve certain things in our lives, to undertake certain things of various sorts. And there, in fact, is a predetermined time for most people to cross over, even though we are unaware of it as we live life. And there are choice points, you might say, along the path. But it is not unusual for people who have a near-death experience, which is in a way, what I would describe that you experienced, to be told that it's not time, you know, go back. If you've read much about near-death experiences, this is very common in those experiences. The individuals are told that they, you know, they have more work to do and to, you know, to go back into the body. So, in a sense, that's really what you were being told. It wasn't time for you to leave. It is appropriate in some cases for individuals to be born and not live very long and then cross over, because we obviously see children die. But, you know, you were told that it was essentially not your time. You had other things to do, so, you know, get back there. And that's really the essence of what you experienced, as I would see it. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah. Yes, it does, to some degree. The male entity that I spoke with asked me what I wanted.
You're breaking up, Chad. I can't hear you. I don't know if you're on a cell phone and a bad signal or what, you're breaking up. I can't hear you, Chad. Can you go and stand somewhere where there's better signal, or
maybe we have to move forward, Richard?
Yes. You want to try again?
Marianne from New Jersey is online too. Welcome, Marianne. And what is your question for Robin?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you, Robin. Before I get to my question, I just wanted to say thank you for all the smiles and laughs you brought into my life. And my favorite of all time was The Birdcage. I've watched it 100 times. My question is, concerning 9/11 and the government, is there any chance you could be a little more specific about that? It really shocked me.
Sorry, I didn't get your name. Mary Ann, is it?
Yes, it's Mary Ann, Richard.
Yes. Yeah. So, Mary Ann, you're asking Robin for more information about 9/11. You weren't aware that 9/11 was an inside job?
Yes, yes.
Let's see what Robin has to say about it. Rather than rely on my words, I encourage you to simply do some checking on the internet. There are many sources of information there which talk about 9/11 and what happened. And it is very clear that this was not done by terrorists flying planes into the World Trade Center buildings. It simply is, for example, not possible for an aluminium plane to fly through the wall of a steel and concrete building. The plane will collapse like as if you'd put your foot on a aluminium drink can. It will collapse in the same manner. So the image that it flew into the building is an illusion that was created on the day. Secondly, we were all told that the buildings were caused to fall down by the burning of the jet fuel, weakening the beams of the building. And this, too, I've come to understand, is completely erroneous. The temperature at which jet fuel will burn, it could burn under a steel beam for a week and not even cause it to bend. It is too low. And so we have been told, we were told, a complete, you might say, pack of lies. And all of this evidence is abundant on the internet. And if this is the first time you have heard this, then I encourage you to begin to look a little more deeply into how your world is constructed and who constructs it, because if you have not picked this piece apart, then you have not begun to understand your world. The 9/11 situation is a glaring example. And I have to say, as I said, I had not begun to look either, so I am not being critical. You might take my words to be that, but I am not being critical in that manner. I'm simply saying if you want to understand your world, begin to look. And looking at 9/11 is a good place to start. Look at the evidence of what actually occurred that day. And I have given you some examples that are undeniable. The physics is very clear about what I'm describing to you. But that is not the illusion that you were sold or we were sold that day. So it's important for you to begin to understand this if you are going to understand the world in which you live.
Thank you. That's pretty shocking. It's upsetting also. Was our president aware of this?
You mean Bush?
Yes.
This is Richard speaking. This is something I've spent quite a lot of time looking at, and if you want to go and look at some of this on my blog, richardpresser.com, it might be a good place to start. Just put 9/11 into the search field and see what you get. There's a lot of discussion there about 9/11, and if you look at the evidence more deeply, I'm satisfied that those buildings were destroyed by nuclear explosion. It's the only way you can really describe how the buildings were pulverized, because the buildings were truly pulverized and everything in them was turned to submicroscopic dust. You need a shockwave to trigger that. Secondly, there was abundant evidence of radiation poisoning in New York after the event. People are receiving bone marrow transplants and so on. This stuff has not been in the mainstream media, but it's all there if you look. So the evidence is abundant.
Yeah.
But you see, you need to understand that perhaps all of the wars of the last certainly 100 years and maybe 200 years have all been the result of false flag events. And similarly, the great shifts in what we are willing to accept have been triggered by events such as 9/11. If you look at 9/11 more closely, you will see that almost within days the Patriot Act came into place. You see the justification of NSA and so many other things have come off the back of 9/11. It's a lie. But that's the way the
game is. Is this going to be exposed?
We're kind of getting into this a little bit, but in my view, it already has been, but it'll never be exposed in the mainstream media because the mainstream media plays the same game as those who were responsible. And you see, it's too late. It doesn't really matter. It's no different from those three Israeli teenagers that were supposedly killed by Hamas that triggered the current destruction of Gaza. The evidence has come out that they were never killed by Hamas, but it's irrelevant now. All you have is the destruction of Gaza going on, justified on a lie. This happens all the time in our world, and people don't begin to see it. So this is perhaps a wake-up call for you, Marianne, to begin to look at how your world actually works.
Is the end... Will this ever end? The destruction that's going on by...
This is why there is...
I want to live in a world filled with love.
This is why there is such a need for a shift in consciousness. In my view, and in the view of others, this will not change inside this consciousness. It's impossible to change it inside this consciousness, in my view. And so it's why we need this shift in consciousness, that we understand that we are here to assist in bringing forth. It's what Robin was referring to, this change in consciousness that allows those who really want to step out of this to be able to move on to a different experience, an experience of being human, which was present on the planet prior to 13,000 or so years ago.
Richard, I would like to remind people that there was no plane that hit building number 3, but yet that collapsed.
Building 7, you mean? Yes. There were 3 buildings came down in New York in the World Trade Center area that day. nobody talks about World Trade Center number 7 that also collapsed into its own footprint, which is the sign of a demolition. There were 3 buildings destroyed that day. Nobody talks about World Trade Center 7. Do you understand? Do you understand how the story is so distorted? You have to start to look.
I guess so now.
So maybe some others are getting a wake-up call here, Marianne, but you really need to begin to understand how your world works, or you don't understand what you need to transcend. There is no, in my view, there is no way that we will stop this process, process that David Icke so well summarizes as problem, reaction, solution in this world. A problem is presented, there's a reaction to it, and a solution is brought forth. And the people that bring forth the solution are the same people that created the problem in the first place. It's just that Joe Average doesn't recognize it. I could give you 1,000 examples.
I guess you
could.
The
game is played in our world.
But isn't the world...
Sorry?
But isn't there supposed to be more love and peace coming into the universe and our world?
Marianne, you need to do some homework. This is not the place to address all of this. I just said to you that the only way I see this being resolved is a shift in consciousness. And that's my view. And I suggest you go to some of our websites, perhaps starting with 2012countdown.com, and read some of the content there. But also, to understand how the world works, look at my blog, as I mentioned, because I do talk about quite a bit of what is going on in this world. In my view, as I said, you are simply not going to change it inside this consciousness. We need a shift in consciousness to change this. Yes, there is more. There is a shift in energy on the planet. I see a lot of evidence of it. But you're not going to change how this game is played. You have to step out of it, in my view. That's what
we've come to the end of our questioning, Richard. We only have 2 minutes left for the show.
Okay, yep.
So why don't you take that 2 minutes, perhaps, and discuss our Templar video, which has a lot of really interesting information that people might want to know about.
By all means. And yes, in 2010 and 2011, Carolyn and I were given some 39 messages by the Knights Templar, who were present on the planet at about 1100 or so, you know, 1,000-odd years ago. And it really is quite extraordinary information about the time in which they lived, but also information about what it means to be human. And some people are aware that they were actually responsible for building those extraordinary Gothic cathedrals across France in particular, but also in other parts of Europe, built them on ancient energy sites. And these buildings have become bastions of the Catholic Church when really they were built for quite a different purpose and built under the watchful eye of the Catholic Church. Quite extraordinary information that was given to us. And so we've put those messages into a video form. You can find them at the website, True Stories of the Templar Knights. I will put a link in the email that I send out in relation to this recording, but it truly is extraordinary information, and the people that have received them and listened and watched them have really got extraordinary value from working with this material.
Richard, we've come to the end of our show for the night.
Well,
time goes
Carolyn,
by fast when you're having fun.
Indeed. And Robin, I want to thank you for coming forth and being so candid with us about your experience of life behind the wonderful, entertaining facade that you created in the world and shared your gift with people, but also to share a little of how you experienced life behind that facade and how you perceive it now. I really appreciate you coming forth. But thank you, Carolyn, for your contribution tonight.
Good night, everyone. See you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.